बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Okay, 15 minutes finished, isn't it? Okay. One important thing about text number 15. The material world is say manyamanah idam vishvam maya rachitam atmani avidya rachita svapna gandharva nagara upamam, he says, nagara upamam. It's like this. So this verse and actually, this verse also means that Dhruva's fight with the yakshas which he had, where he was given a warning also that one has to be cautious and careful while living in the material world. It's like a two-edged sword of attachment and aversion. Therefore, one cannot take Maya very cheaply. One has to be very, therefore it is said one should be conscious of Krishna and cautious of Maya, both. So Jadabharata's pastime teaches how to be cautious of Maya, correct, no? So because Bharat was little lacking caution and then Jadabharata became very cautious, right. So Prahlad was conscious of Krishna, Jadabharata was cautious of Maya. So therefore, there is a mention in this sloka that this world is a bewildering material world. It's like a fantasy. It bewilders the living entity. It's like a dream, it is said. So even after one has become a devotee for many, many long years, one should never underestimate the power of Maya. Therefore, even a devotee who has grown up in Krishna consciousness for many long years should always be beware. Beware with, you know. Beware that one should expect dangers, anticipate dangers, and one should not be casual, because therefore we say, no, casual, a casual man can become a casualty, we say, no? So the warning is given. So in the place of Bhagavatam, we find very, very big devotees undergoing a challenge for a short while, like Bharat Maharaj. He was feeling the symptoms of bhava, correct? In that stage, he became attached to deer. Dhruva Maharaj has already seen Vishnu cry tears also. He is already purified, pure devotee, glorified, praised by all people, everything. And then, so he is facing a challenge with... So Bharat Maharaj is facing attachment, Dhruva Maharaj is facing aversion. So we can see these powerful devotee examples. Both are great devotees. So, and also similarly, another example is Ajahmila, who was born in a Brahmana family, raised properly by the father, Shruta Sampanna, Dhridavrata, Sadachari, and you know, so many good qualities of Ajahmila are listed. And then after taking him to great height as a pure Brahmana, every morning he used to rise and go to temple and all that, then finally it is said that he saw the sight and he fell down. So every Brahmanical boy doing Sandhyavandan three times a day can also fall down. And that is the point. So therefore, the Bhagavatam gives us warning. Actually, this warning should not make us insecure or frightened or fearful that, you know, where is our hope? Where is hope for us? But this kind of caution should leave a lesson for us that we should never become slack in our spiritual life till our last breath. That is the main point. Therefore, he is saying here, Dhruva Maharaj realized that this cosmic manifestation bewilders living entities like a dream or phantasmagoria, because it is a... So what happened with respect to yakshas is simply like a dream. Why? Because Dhruva Maharaj is a pure devotee. There is no question of becoming attached to your blood relationships, like Uttama and for that sake fight with yakshas, developing hatred for someone, because he had already transcended the attachment and hatred and become a devotee of Lord Vishnu, seeing Vishnu's darshan. Therefore, while living in this external energy of the Supreme Lord, which is like we are tatastha shakti, and sometimes the bank is wet, sometimes it is dry, we say, no? So we have to be very careful not to get covered over by the external energy, but keep oneself under the shade of internal potency, not illusory potency. Illusory potency is external potency. One should keep oneself under internal potency. So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj retired from the world, and wholeheartedly he will devote his time now, you will see. Okay, let's go to the 16th verse. Now please read the translation quick.
Thus Dhruva Maharaj, at the end, left his kingdom, which extended all over the earth and was bounded by the great oceans. He considered this body, his wives, his children, his friends, his army, his rich treasury, his very comfortable palaces, and his many enjoyable pleasure grounds to be the creations of the illusory energy. Thus, in due course of time, he retired to the forest in the Himalayas known as Badrikashrama.
In the middle of the purport, after 4 or 5 lines, see, from the acts of Srila Dhruva Maharaj, read that.
From the acts of Srila Dhruva Maharaj, we can understand that somehow or other, if one becomes Krishna conscious, it does not matter what his motivation is in the beginning. He will eventually realize the real truth by the grace of the Lord. In the beginning, Dhruva Maharaj was interested in the kingdom of his father, but later he became a great devotee, Mahabhagavata, and had no interest in material enjoyment. The perfection of life can be achieved only by devotees. Even if one completes only minute percentage of devotional service and then falls down from his immature position, he is better than a person who fully engages in the fruitive activities of this material world.
Yeah, it's like that. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare. Similar kind of thing, yeah. Read the 17th translation also.
In Badrikashrama, Dhruva Maharaja's senses became completely purified because he bathed regularly in the crystal clear purified water. He fixed his sitting position and by yogic practice controlled the breathing process and the air of life. In this way, his senses were completely withdrawn. Then he concentrated his mind on the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord, which is the exact replica of the Lord, and thus meditating upon him, entered into complete trance.
Yeah. So here it is said, at the right time he retired, as it is said in the previous one. Actually, he developed detachment from everything, from the kingdom, from the worldly life, kingly life, his army, his friends, family, and his body, comfortable palaces. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you find the kings, after the Vanaprastha stage, they go to the forest. In the palace, they must have slept in soft beds, but now they have to sleep on ground or the mountain, stone. They directly lie on the ground. If you see, like Prithu Maharaj is lying directly on the ground. In the palace, they must have eaten nice, delicious preparations and fine foods and beverages. When they go to the forest, they eat kandamool. And such kind of very austere foods to eat. And in the palace life, they naturally must have had queens, children, family life, enjoyment of family. But when they would go to forest, the sex life is completely stopped after 50. They focus on husband, wife may stay together, but their focus is on going back to Godhead. Like Prithu and Archi, or Malayadvaja and Vaidarbhi. If you read that similarly, he also, Dhruva Maharaj also, there is no mention about in his Vanaprastha ashram, his wife or family going with him. But generally the kings who retire to the forest, they retire to very solitary places where they can contemplate about the goal and meaning of life, purpose of life. So the first step in contemplation is withdrawal from the sense gratification. The senses in the material world naturally flow outwardly. They run towards the sense objects. So the first step is to withdraw the senses by doing asanas, and withdraw the mind by doing pranayama. And then when the senses and mind are withdrawn into the when we met his grace, Mr. Iyengarji, so he was telling a very interesting point when Parampuja Radhanath Maharaj went to meet him. I happened to be around also. So he was telling Maharaj that the man, buddhi and ahankar put together called antakaran. The antakaran generally has a tendency to flow outward in this world. Flowing outward means, you know, shabda sparsha rasa rupa gandha. We want to see beautiful objects, we want to smell fragrant substances, we want to hear sweet music, and we want to taste delicious preparations, fine foods, isn't it? And one wants to touch soft objects. So, but when one goes to vanaprastha, he was telling, as one progresses in spiritual life, one has to withdraw the senses inward and focus on the Paramatma in the heart. So he was telling, Swamiji, I am so worried. All over the world, although people are taking to yoga, they only try to do asanas and pranayama and everything so that they can do their better sense gratification. That purpose, it's utterly foolish. They are withdrawing the senses and mind and conserving some energy and again letting them loose again. So they are degrading again, polluting their mind and senses, he was telling. So he said, now he has written a book called Core Yoga. There is a book. So in that book he has mentioned this. And the purpose of controlling the senses and mind is to focus on Lord Vishnu. Focus on the Paramatma. And he said, one interesting point is that when the mind and senses flow outward towards the things of the world, they become extremely agitated. They become hyperactive. But when they are withdrawn from the outside world and focused on Lord's personal form, they become calm, cool, collected. They get clarity in thought, word and deed. So he said that this is actually the goal of Ashtanga Yoga, you are telling. So he said that the mind has two names, he said. You can call the mind as Ekadasha Indriya, or you can count the mind along with the soul, he said. He said there are 10 Indriyas, 5 Jnanendriyas and 5 Karmendriyas. If a mind and my intelligence and ego are flowing outward, then mind is counted as Ekadashendriya. It's 11th Indriya. It's counted. But when the mind, when the Antakarana is withdrawn and focused on the Supreme, although the senses are engaging with objects of the world for the sake of basic demands, like for example, you have to bathe, you have to eat, you have to sleep. So the senses have to be used. So senses are engaged, but Prahlada Maharaj could not understand when did he eat, when did he sleep, also he forgot. Because his antakarana was absorbed in remembering the Lord. So sometimes Prahlad would smile, sometimes he would cry, sometimes he would be stunned. So this type of symptoms he exhibited because of fixity on the super soul, on the Lord and the heart like that. Similarly, Dhruva also in the same manner, he concentrated his mind on the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. Like that he says. So in this way, that is actually the ultimate purpose of Ashtanga Yoga. After which mind becomes steady. When mind is steady, we can concentrate. When we concentrate, our purification of the heart takes place. When heart is purified, tat paratvena nirmalam. Once one person becomes nirmal, then he will only hanker for nirmal types of enjoyments. What are nirmal type of enjoyments? Oh, the deities are so beautiful. Oh, the shastra is so delicious to read and relish. Oh, the association, exchanging Krishna Katha is so wonderful. So in this way, his quality of tastes become very fine, spiritual, when the heart becomes purified. So like this, now you see what is happening in the 18th verse. Bhaktim harau bhagavati prabhan najasra. Ananda Bashpakalaya Muhurad Adhyamanaha Viklidyamana Hridaya Pulaka Chitango Natmana Masmara Dasa Viti Mukta Lingaha. Yeah, translation.
Because of his transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes. His heart melted. and there was shivering and standing of the hairs all over his body. Thus transformed in a trance of devotional service, Dhruva Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and thus he immediately became liberated from material bondage.
So, there is an example Prabhupada gives. If you see the fifth line, read it, when a devotee completely forgets.
When a devotee completely forgets his bodily existence, he should be understood to be liberated.
Deha smriti nahi yaar. You know that, what is the next line? Samsara bandha nahi tar. Yeah. Deha smriti. That means actually real meaning of liberated position means he forgets the external bodily activities. It's not that he doesn't eat. It's not that he doesn't sleep. He bathes, he eats, he sleeps, but his attention is fully on the Supreme. Like somebody may see, even in the bathroom they are singing a song. Isn't it some Vaishnava song? Any of you had experience in the bathroom when you are under the shower, you are singing a Vaishnava song, and then first you sing the song, then you contemplate on the meaning. Correct, no? Then you contemplate on the meaning, then gradually your mind is taken away from, you may forget that you are under the shower also. Of course, you have to put off the shower also, make sure. Too much water will be wasted otherwise. But the idea is what? Deha smriti nahi aaru. One can forget. See, therefore the sound vibration is very important. You see, sometimes when you go to your native place, some musical sound comes. Oh, this is a very familiar music. And then you hear one fellow singing something, and then one Mataji is singing some duet song. Then first thing you hear, oh, this is a familiar song I used to sing in my school days. And then what do you think? What is he saying? And what is she saying? And then your entire mind enters into that movie, you know. Now I remember it is from that particular movie. Now I remember that particular scene. Correct, no? You completely mind. And then suddenly you realize, hey, my Lord, I am a Hare Krishna devotee now. Isn't it? So, see, therefore the sound vibration is very powerful. Similarly, in Vaishnava songs also, initially you may be just singing, because instead of doing, you know, shaving and brushing, without doing anything, let me play a song or hear a song. But the sound is very, very powerful. Because first we hear the sound, then we like the tune, then we contemplate on the meaning of what is being said, then we apply the meaning to our personal life. So, in this way, one can forget the body. It is possible. And the liberated stage, one completely forgets the body. Example is given. Read further.
He is no longer encaged in the body. The example is given that when a coconut becomes completely dry, the coconut pulp within the coconut shell separates from the bondage of the shell and the outer covering. By moving the dry coconut, one can hear that the pulp within is no longer attached to the shell or to the covering. Similarly, when one is fully absorbed in devotional service, he is completely disconnected from the two material coverings, the subtle and gross bodies. Dhruva Maharaj actually attained the state of life by constantly discharging devotional service.
Yeah. So in our life also, we have to become so surcharged in our Krishna consciousness. Who more you meet a Prabhuji, you meet a Mataji, you meet a child, you meet a newcomer. Who more you meet big leaders, you meet big donors. Who more you meet, our natural inclination should be to tell something about Krishna. And always think on how to connect them to Krishna. How to make that jiva happy by connecting to Krishna. So we have to actually become oblivious to the material designations of the living entities also eventually. One should not, actually if we are on the material platform, we become very, what do you call it, affected by material vibrations. But if we are filled with spiritual vibration, our spiritual vibration will affect others. Rather than their material vibration affecting us. Like, you know, you go to somebody's office, you are waiting outside, and you see this, you see that, ye kya hai? Okay, and then you become affected by that instead of giving Krishna to them. And then when you go inside and you meet them, you don't know what to tell them. And then that fellow tells all his own glories. Correct? And you don't get an opportunity to tell about Krishna. So, there is always, see, every one of us are emanating some energy. Now Prabhupada says two things, energy and consciousness. That energy is actually, either we are emanating a kind of enthusiastic energy or lack of enthusiasm, which is actually low energy. High energy means great enthusiasm. Similarly, conviction. A devotee's conviction, devotee's ecstasy, devotee's enthusiasm, and devotee's remembrance of the Lord. So it comes out like a wave and it affects the other people. So in a liberated stage, he's saying here, he is withdrawn from bodily and mental activities. Yesterday I was telling the same point in the Jadabharata also, in the Rahuguna and Jadabharata section it comes. What he says there, the entire chapter has only one essential point. It says that conditioned soul means his absorption is body and mind. Liberated soul means his absorption is Lord Vasudeva. This is the difference. So now we can ask ourselves, although I may be a conditioned soul, my default option is what? Body and mind. Correct, no? But we have to elevate our mind to absorb in Krishna as an austerity. On the other hand, for liberated soul, his default option is what? Lord Vasudeva. And sometimes suddenly somebody is saying, Maharaj, will you take prasad? He comes out. What is that? Correct. So he has to, as an austerity, do eating, taking bath, you know, do Gayatri. Correct. So that is austerity for them. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri, what he says, Sandhya Vandanam, Sandhya Vandanam, I offer my salutations to you. Today I forgot to do my Gayatri. Because I was chanting Krishna's holy names constantly. He's saying, I may request all Brahmanas, don't say that. Actually, many of our Brahmanas very often they forget to chant Gayatri. But not that at that time they are chanting Hare Krishna. That is another important thing. But our Madhavendra Puri is forgetting to chant Gayatri. Why? He says, ever since I started chanting Krishna's names, I am unable to stop, he's saying. That's continuously going. Because of that, Gayatri gets missed out. So that is what stage is it? Liberated stage, advanced stage. So, although our default option is body and mind, one good thing that we all are doing now is we are withdrawing our mind and senses from matter and we are absorbing it in Krishna. They are becoming purified. Sarva Upadhi Vinirmuktam Tatparatya Nirmalam. So once the senses and mind become very nirmalam, then our chitta will focus on Vasudeva. Then Vasudeva will become our default option. And then we will also do some material activities what have to be done. But we will not be enthusiastic in doing material activities. We will do it as a matter of duty. But enthusiasm will be in Lord Vasudeva. Whereas for a conditioned soul, he derives lot of enthusiasm in doing material activities. For example, you say, Prabhuji, let's go for prasad. What is prasad today? What is the subject today? What is the sweet today? And there will be lot of half an hour interpretation on, Before eating, there is a talk about what is going to be there. After eating, how it was. Comments like that. So, conditioned soul talks a lot about how I ate, how I slept, how is my disease, how is my body, how smart I am, how cute I am. So, therefore, we have that withdrawal. Prabhupada gives example of the coconut. Correct, no? When it becomes, what do you call it? Copra, you call it? Copra or cobra it is. Cobra is this one, no? What do you call that? Copra, correct? C-O-P-R-A? K-H-O-P-R-A. K-H-O-P-R-A, okay. Copra, okay. So when it becomes copra, when you do the coconut like this, kudu, you get that. So that is liberated soul, he's saying. Because copra has withdrawn from the shell and the... So Prabhupada is comparing the outer, what do you call that, fiber to the grass body. And one place Prabhupada says elsewhere, people who are doing sense gratification are like people who are biting the, fiber. If you take a green nariyal and you bite outside, imagine a dog is trying to bite and eat it. That is called sense gratification. Let's see. And trying to enjoy with the mind is like trying to eat the outside shell. The soul is the coconut. And Krishna prema is the juice in the coconut. Like coconut water. Very nice analogy it is. Beautiful. So Lord Chaitanya exhibited all these symptoms, he is saying. And then Haridas Thakur also exhibited them. And there are many pure devotees who manifested that. But that is not to be imitated, Prabhupada is saying. When one is advanced, the symptoms are exhibited. Of course, from the beginning of devotion service, the path of liberation immediately opens. Just as the coconut taken from the tree immediately begins to dry the moment you take it out of the tree. That means, you know, once you are preached by some devotee and brought into the fold of Krishna consciousness, you get cut off from the propensity for sense gratification. Because you know that, you know, four regulative principles should not be broken. You understand that, you withdraw yourself. It simply takes some time for the shell and pulp to separate from one another, he's saying. And the word mukta linga means liberated from the subtle body, he's saying. This is real liberation. And another place in the Lord Kapila section, Prabhupada says, liberation is not freedom from the gross body. He says freedom from gross body is given to you at the time of death. But then what happens? There is no freedom from subtle body. Therefore, you get one more body, he says. Therefore, he says, mukta linga means liberation from which body? So, birth after birth, the soul leaves the gross body, but the subtle body goes with him. And then it goes next body, then third body, fourth body. At one point of time, jarayatyashu yakosham nigirinam analoyata. Lord Kapila says, the subtle body is burnt to ashes, he's saying. Jarayatyashu yakosham nigirinam analoyata. Just like the, when something is burnt into ashes, like that the subtle body is finished off, he says. At that time the soul is liberated, free. And when is the subtle body burnt to ashes? When the subtle body is used only for Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. The mind and the senses are used only in Lord's service. Again and again and again. It's like iron rod put in fire. Iron rod put in fire doesn't behave like iron rod anymore. It behaves almost like a red hot coal. It behaves, ordinary iron rod behaves like iron rod. Whereas the iron rod put in fire behaves differently. So the difference between a conditioned soul and liberated soul is, liberated soul's senses and mind are completely absorbed in Lord's name, form, you know, qualities, pastimes and all. So at least we have some clue how to do devotion service so that we can purify ourselves gradually. See, Prabhupada says here below, read that 4-5 lines below. The mental condition of a baby.
The mental condition of a baby is different from that of a boy. The mental condition of a boy is different from that of a young man. And the mental condition of a young man is different from that of an old man. So at death, the process of changing bodies takes place due to the subtle body, the mind, intelligence and ego.
That's called antakaran. Yeah, mind, intelligence, ego is antakaran. Antakaran carry the souls. Yes, carry the soul from one gross body to another.
Another. Yes. This is called transmigration of the soul. But there is another stage where one becomes liberated even from the subtle body. At that time, the living entity is competent and fully prepared to be transferred to the transcendental or spiritual world.
Our subtle body, the main thing in our subtle body is the mind, which has got all the impurities. So when the mind, when we are not liberated from the mind, means what? The mind has impure desires which it is eager to execute through the senses. And the soul is in trouble because of this. Because the soul is supposed to use the higher intelligence and subdue the impure mind and senses, which he can do for some time. But the soul will get tired after some time. Because how long can you subdue the mind and subdue the mind with the intelligence? Therefore, we have to do two things. Subdue the mind by intelligence, by good preaching to the mind, but simultaneously work on purifying the senses also and the mind also. So for the senses, we purify them with Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, which is Seva. And how do you purify the mind? You remember that? You remember once we discussed about how to purify the intelligence by studying scriptures. How to purify the senses by Seva. And how to purify the mind? Sankirtan, chanting. Because man mana, Krishna says, you know. So by chanting of the holy name, the mind gets purified. Cheto Dharpana Marjana. So in this way, then we can come to the stage of liberation which Dhruva Maharaj attained. So that is, so we discussed about the symptoms of the liberated soul. You saw that? That is the 18th verse. Yes, come to the 19th verse. See, in the 19th verse, Prabhupada explains in the purport. Okay, read the translation first.
Sadadarsha vimanagriyam.
navasovatarat dhruvah vibrajayat dashadisho rakapati mivoditam.
Yeah.
As soon as the symptoms of his liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky as if the brilliant full moon were coming down, illuminating all the 10 directions.
Now the Vaikuntha airplane has come already to take Dhruva in this verse. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that 5 types of knowledge: pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, adokshaja and aprakrita. Correct, no? I don't want to get into the subject. I will give a notes to Ashwin Prabhu, which you all can read at your leisure, and it is very valuable to read. It's only one page, one or two pages only. One paragraph is there about each of them. So 5 levels of knowledge. So, but I'll tell you only one or two sentences on each. Pratyaksha means direct perception. Prabhupada writes as calls as direct knowledge. What is it? When you watch a great pure devotee, spiritual master, you get inspired. That inspiration is direct knowledge, where we just imitate his activities. He is having a bead bag, you also have a mala, you chant. He bows down, you bow down. Whatever he says, you accept directly, like that. And pratyaksha and paraaksha means what? Knowledge received from the authorities. Afterwards, you start hearing him. Initially, you don't even hear. You just do what he says. But later, you hear what he says. You learn to see the world through his eyes. Therefore, it is called paraaksha. For example, somebody may look at the deity like a doll. They may not know. But after you hear from spiritual master, the deity is Sakshat Krishna. A deity form of the Lord is actually a material form. It's a spiritual form visible to material eyes. Although we say that the 8 dhatus are used to make a deity, they are material elements in the beginning. But after you do pranapadishta, it doesn't remain material anymore. Just like saying, a paper, you know, is ordinary. But once the Reserve Bank of India takes it and prints a currency note, it is no more ordinary paper. Because now it's authorized by the government. So it's a valuable paper now. Now you will not throw it here and there. You will keep it safely with you. Similarly, the deity form also is made of material elements in the beginning. But once the Lord descends as the deity, after that it is a spiritual form visible to material eyes. So then a devotee's vision of the deity, vision of the Vaishnava devotees, you know, the Shastra Chakshu, everything is manifesting. So then he goes to second stage called Paraaksha, which means he is seeing through the eyes of Guru. Guru says, don't have Jati Buddhi. Don't see the Vaishnavas as Brahmana, Shudra, Chandala and all that. See them as Vaishnavas. So that is called Paraaksha. Whatever he says, you follow. Then third stage is Pratyaksha, Paroksha. Aparoksha means what? Prabhupada says here. Transcendental knowledge, he is saying. That is Aparoksha. Which means, you yourself can see. Whatever you heard from Guru earlier, you believed it because he told you. But now you come to a third stage where aparoksha means even without believing because what he says, you yourself also start seeing it from the Shastra Chakshu. That's called transcendental knowledge. So you get a divine eye. This is the stage where the conviction becomes thicker. In the Prabhupada will say that, in the later part he will say that. So one has to come to the third stage to develop a very deep, rock-solid determination in Krishna consciousness. And the like, for example, we all know the example of fish out of water, correct, no? One boy is studying in Marine College and he came back. I asked him, what was your realization in the ship? He said, Prabhuji, I was like a fish out of water, he said. I said, hey, you are in the middle of ocean. Why you felt like fish out of water? So he said, Prabhu, in the ship, everybody was drinking, smoking, you know, eating non-veg and everything. I was the only Hare Krishna devotee there. I felt all alone. And then he said, now I understand the example of fish out of water now. Because, you know, earlier when I read in Prabhupada books, it was theory for me. But now he has spent 3-4 years. When he went to the ship, he understood how it is to be without devotees. Correct, no? So then you get your own realization, personal realization. On the other hand, like one boy was giving a lecture, he said, sense gratification is poison, he was telling. And one student raised his hand and said, Prabhuji, how do you say sense gratification is poison? I'm not saying Prabhupada said in his book. I'm just repeating what I read in the book. He said, okay, Prabhuji, that is all right, but can you explain it? I have never tried to explain this. In fact, I am also a little doubtful because, you know, sense gratification always appears very enjoyable for me also. What is the meaning of that? That means he is in which level? Second level. He has heard the knowledge, he is repeating like a parrot, but he is not able to realize it. Correct, no? So, one important point that all of us have to do as preachers, we should try to explain things in our own words. After reading and hearing, even though you may hear a lecture and make notes and all, when we try to explain in our own words and elaborate it, then only one can go from one stage, the stage of paroksha, to the aparoksha stage, where one will be able to speak with conviction. And then the fourth stage is adokshaja, knowledge beyond the senses. Adha means what? Adha means push down, Prabhupada says. Aksha means eyes. Ja means bond. That means whatever material things we see with our eyes in this world, when one pushes them down and refuses to see anything in a mundane way, but sees only with a spiritual vision, Shastra Chakshu, that is called Adokshaja. Which means, a devotee walking on the road, he will see, oh, this tall building, Krishna says, Bhumi Rapo Analo Vayu Kammano Buddhi Revacha. This is Krishna's what energy? Material and external energy, he will see like that. When he sees a tree or a dog, he may think, this poor tree or the dog must have done some sinful activities, so the poor jiva is suffering in this body. You know, he can think like that. When he looks at the rainbow in the sky, he thinks, oh, there is only one bow which has no string. Who is that bow? Rainbow. And Krishna is like that. So, therefore, the rainy season, you see, you know, whatever you see, everything is given a Krishna conscious interpretation, correct? No? So, that is actually adokshaja means one can see the activities of kala, karma and guna. One can get the eyes to see them. Like somebody is suffering, you will see, just see how the karma is acting on this fellow. How the kala is acting. How the gunas are acting. Like you are walking in the road, you can see, oh, this fellow is acting too passionately. Hey, that jiva, poor jiva is suffering in tamaguna. So in this way, see, we all know this theoretically. But in the fourth stage is a stage when material vision is pushed down and Shastra Chakshu vision is brought up. And the fifth stage is aprakrita. Aprakrita means it is spiritual, completely spiritual, where one sees Krishna's hand everywhere, one's heart becomes a playground of Lord's pastimes. It's a very, very advanced stage. That means the devotee's heart becomes like spiritual world. Every moment after moment like that, like Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in their heart, Lord is always performing pastimes in their heart. What is that song? Tumara Hridaya Sada? So Lord Govinda is performing Leela in his heart. Also Prabhupada says, what is that? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochane Santa Sadaiva? See, Hridayeshu is said again. Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. So he is always in the devotee's heart. That is Aprakrita stage. So after saying this five platform, Prabhupada saying, read it. Dhruva Maharaj being liberated.
Dhruva Maharaj, being liberated from the material concept of life, was situated in transcendental knowledge and could perceive the presence of a transcendental airplane which was as brilliant as the full moonlight. This is not possible in the stages of direct or indirect perception of knowledge. Such knowledge is a special favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
In another chapter in Bhagavatam, it is explained, when we come to the third stage, we can see Siddhas flying in the sky, it says. One will see. So if you are not seeing now, then we can know that we are not yet in the third stage fully. Isn't it? One can see the Siddhas flying in the sky. One can see the demigods. And one can see the spiritual phenomenon acting. One can see. Like when you come to the temple hall, it will be a much different experience for you than when you are on the road. One can see the spiritual phenomenon, the spiritual vibration, the spiritual activities happening. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said in one of the things in his assembly, many demigods were hearing, Narada was hearing, Shukadeva Goswami was hearing, was saying, you know, like we sing in that song, Bhakati Vinoda Deke Gaurara Sampada. So what Bhakti Vinod Deke, what did he see? He is seeing, what all he is seeing? He is seeing Lord Chaitanya is sitting and on his one side Nityananda is there, other side Gadadhar is there. And Bhosiyachin, he has sat down, he is needing to take accept the arati. And then Mukunda is singing, Ghosh is singing and Shivas is doing Chamar. And then Brahma himself is coming to perform arati. And Shiva, Sukha, Narada, all of them are Preme Gada Gada. Their throats are choking in ecstatic love. Huh? They are also singing, isn't it? And all this is happening in the bank of? Janavi, Tatavane, correct? It is happening in Janavi Tat. In the bank of Ganga it is happening. And then he is saying, and devotees are all playing, what are they playing? Shankha Bhaje, Ganta Bhaje, Madhura Madhura, Madhura Bhaje. They are playing cymbals, and they are also playing mridangam and everything, and it's very nectarian. Huh? And then he is saying, and Lord Chaitanya is wearing what garland? Vanamala is wearing, and it is shining. What is that? For a jalamala, yeah, correct. It is shining also, mala is shining very beautifully. Just like we sing Shankha Bhaje, Ganta Bhaje, some people sing for jalamala also. Mala, that also they sing, you heard that? Gaurangire Jalama. So, and then he is saying, all this beautiful vision, who is getting this vision? Bhaktanath. Thakur is getting. He is getting that vision. When he goes to Navadvip, he is able to see this. Although Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, now he is getting that vision. Similarly, Bhaktanath Thakur was in the rooftop and he called a devotee and showed, hey, just see. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and all associates are doing a loud kirtan and their bodies are emanating a bright golden effulgence all around, and just they are going, you see. So he saw it with his eyes, he could see that. So this kind of visions are possible in the aprakrita stage. So now he is able to see the aeroplane. Right now we only see our indigo aeroplane. Hopefully when we elevate ourselves, then we will see what aeroplane? Vaikuntha aeroplane also. Yeah. Read further, complete that purpose.
One can, however, rise to this platform of knowledge by the gradual process of advancing in devotional service or Krishna consciousness.
Yes, correct. Yeah, that is the 5 levels of acquired knowledge. Let's go to the 20. Just read the translation.
Dhruva Maharaj saw two very beautiful associates of the Lord of Lord Vishnu in the plain. They had 4 hands and a blackish bodily luster. They were very youthful and their eyes were just like reddish lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands and they were dressed in very attractive garments with helmets and were decorated with necklaces, bracelets and earrings.
Read the 21 translation also.
Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that these uncommon personalities were direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately stood up. But being puzzled in hastiness, he forgot how to receive them in a proper way. Therefore, he simply offered obeisances with folded hands and chanted and glorified the holy names of the Lord.
Yeah, this is the innocence of a devotee, you see. Like when Bahulashva and Shrutadeva had invited the Lord. Actually, this type of innocence and tension you can see in Grihastha's homes also when you go. Generally, when a Grihastha is inviting some great soul, sannyasi or great personality, one of the first things they will do is they will go to other devotees and ask, if this senior devotee is coming or sannyasi is coming, how am I to make my house? Because I don't know. So then they will come and tell them, you know, you put flowers here, you make a beautiful pond outside with, you know, this thing, you put some flowers and the altar should be like this, you know. And then they will ask, let me do rehearsal first. You know, what is the first step? When they come, should I go outside the compound and receive or stand at the door? Correct, no? How I should bring? Should I allow Maharaj to walk ahead of me? Sometimes what happens, grasp the man, I go behind Maharaj and say, Maharaj, go up. Maharaj says, no, you go ahead of me. No, Maharaj, I am supposed to follow you. And Maharaj said, but if you follow me, then how will I know where to go? You have to constantly keep giving running commentary to me. Turn right, turn left, correct, no? Better you go ahead of me and show me, isn't it? So, such innocence I got to see many times when you go to people's home, isn't it? And the wife will tell the husband, psh, 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 you should do like this. She'll be giving signals to him. You know? And the wife will say, Now Maharaj has come inside. Please ask him to sit. Ask him to sit. Maharaj, you can sit here. Not in that chair. In the sofa. Okay, Maharaj, please sit in the sofa. Correct. And then, hey, bring the vessel. Wash his feet. And then the husband will be saying, what to do next? Correct, no? After washing, she'll throw the water. Hey, don't throw it. Let us sprinkle on our heads. So, sometimes when you go to homes, actually that innocence is so beautiful to see. Actually, we get so much of enthusiasm because sometimes we lose such innocence when we grow up over the years. Because, you know, we have seen Maharaja so many times, we may take him very lightly. Correct, no? You may not understand, but when you go to Grihastha's homes, the kind of love, respect, affection and adoration, admiration they show, very pleasing to see. So, of course, they put their heart in whatever service they do. Shrutadeva also, he thought that, now I am welcoming Lord Krishna along with the sages. But whenever somebody comes to a home for a festival or something, there should be somebody to dance, I don't have money to bring dancing girls. So what I will do? He only danced, taking his Angavastra above his head. And Krishna liked it also. All that was a very simple dance performance, Yeah, Lord was happy with that, you see. And then he gave him a chatai to sit. He gave him some fruits, berries and such kinds of things. Very simple welcome. But Lord Krishna was equally pleased, as much as he was pleased in the home of Bahulashwa also. Similarly, Dhruva also, he is a great exalted personality, but this is new experience for him. When Vishnu came first time, something similar happened. He fell at Vishnu's feet. Like that, his tongue started touching the palate. He could not speak up anything. There was simultaneously joy and fear. There was joy that Vishnu is giving me darshan. And there was fear that I am a 5-year-old boy. I have not yet learned any Sanskrit prayers. I have not yet gone to Gurukula also. So what will I say? So then Lord touched him with a shank and empowered him to speak that time. Now similarly, something similar is happening here. He was puzzled. He had a hastiness. He forgot how to receive in a proper way. He didn't know. Maybe he must have planned. In case the Vaikuntha airplane come, I will do this first and that second and this third and that fourth. But when actual thing happens, you forget everything. In hastiness, you forget everything. So therefore, he didn't know what to do. But then he offered obeisances with folded hands. Kritanjali, like this. And chanted and glorified the holy names of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes in that purport, if you see, 8 lines from bottom, read it. Even though, okay, you can write that. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord is perfect. Read that.
The chanting of the holy names of the Lord is perfect. Even though one does not know how to please Lord Vishnu or his associates, simply by sincerely chanting the holy name of the Lord, everything becomes perfect. A devotee, therefore, either in danger or in happiness, constantly chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When he is in danger, he is immediately relieved. And when he is in a position to see Lord Vishnu or his associates directly, by chanting this Mahamantra, he can please the Lord. This is the absolute nature of the Mahamantra. Either in danger or in happiness, it can be chanted without limitation.
Yeah. See, in the Vedic path, there are many Vedic mantras to be chanted. But if you know little Sanskrit, you will see, they generally say that in this particular year, in this particular month, on this particular tithi, I, who is so-and-so, whose gotra is so-and-so, I take a sankalpa, that I am offering this particular puja to this Lord for getting this particular benefit. That kind of thing they chant, the Vedic mantras, correct? No? And there is a pujari who keeps telling, you should utter this particular mantra. He says and the others repeat, correct? There are a lot of specifics are there. But in the path of devotion service, there is no such specifics. You don't have to worry too much about, nitty-gritties, details and all. You just chant the holy name when you don't know. When some Maharaja is coming, just chant and dance the holy name, isn't it? Any time you don't know what to do, just chant the holy name, he says. So Prabhupada says, because you can never be wrong when you chant the holy name. That is one thing, nobody can call you wrong. Because sakalam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. Who said this? Shukracharya said this to Bali Maharaj. Not to Bali Maharaj. Shukracharya said this to Lord Vamana. After Bali Maharaj's episode got over, Lord Vamana asked a question to Shukracharya. At that time, Shukracharya said, in the Vedic path, you know, small small mistakes are taken too seriously. But in the devotional path, even big big holes are closed when you chant the holy name. You see, Ajamila had big big holes in his character, but by chanting the holy name, you know, he was saved from Yamapash. You can see like that. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj also just chanted the holy name and welcomed him. Read the theme. You read it.
To chant holy names to please Vishnu and associates.
Yeah. 22nd verse. Tam Krishna Padabhini Vishta Chetasam.
Tam Krishna Padabhini Vishta Chetasam.
Baddhanjalim Prashraya Namrakandharam.
Baddhanjalim Prashraya Namrakandharam.
Sunandanandavu Upasritya Sasmitam. प्रत्युचतु पुष्करनाभसम्मतौ. Translation, yeah.
Dhruva Maharaj was always absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. His heart was full with Krishna. When the two confidential servants of the Supreme Lord, who were named Nanda and Sunanda, approached him, smiling happily, Dhruva Maharaj stood with folded hands, bowing humbly. They then addressed him as follows.
See, those two associates are called by the name Pushkaranabha Sammatav. Pushkaranabha is Vishnu, who has a lotus-like navel. And Sammatav means they always are aligned with the will of Vishnu. Sammatav. Which means whatever Vishnu says, or Vishnu, not only what Vishnu says, whatever Vishnu wants, they know it. See, recently I had gone to Hyderabad and Adilabad. So, Radha Pramod Prabhu arranged a meeting with Chinna G.R. Swami, who is building that very big Ramanujas deity, is going to come in a place called Samshabad. So, in that place, so when we met him, something very interesting he shared when we were speaking to him personally. So, when we were climbing up a staircase, he was climbing up and one family, husband wife, came running to meet him. Maharaj, 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 they came. So then he stopped for a while. The wife said, Maharaj, my husband has come. Yeah, she said. And then Maharaj turned to husband and said, oh, you are out now? He said, because he had come from the jail. Because the husband has some grocery shop or something like that. He has mixed something, I think, because of which he had to be put in jail for some few weeks or months. Some kind of golmaal in business or something. So he had come. So after that, the husband said, yes, Maharaj, now I am out now. Now I am free now. Therefore, I have come to meet you. And I was telling. And then Maharaj told him, see, you have come out of the jail because of your wife, who is a devotee. Your wife is a serious devotee, seriously practicing devotee. She comes and does so much seva here. Maharaj telling. So, because she is praying for you, therefore you are saved. He was telling. Thank you, Maharaj. He was telling. And then Maharaj told him that, he told Maharaj, Maharaj, please keep us at your lotus feet, he said. Maharaj said, if I keep you in my feet, if you go to jail, I have to go to jail also, along with you. He was telling. Therefore, he said, not only you should say that I should keep you in my lotus feet, but you also should follow the good instruction. Because if you don't follow good instruction, I have to come with you. He was telling. Then afterwards we went inside. So while talking to him, I just made a statement. Maharaj, you are doing such great things. You are making such a huge Ramanuja's deity. And also he is preaching all over the world. If you see the volume of his activities, you will be stunned. Children, youth and congregation. And for the first time I am seeing somebody in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya doing a volume of huge volume of activities. And he has got 450 Gurukul children there, who remain with him between the age of 7 to 14. So that was another interest for me, how they run the Gurukul. We are only having Brahmacharya Ashram, we can also have a Gurukul in future. So I learned some things from there, what they do. So I was telling him, you are doing so many activities, how are you able to guide so many people all over the world? He said, honestly, I have to tell you, I only get to meet them occasionally, he said. You know, once in 2 years or so I may go. But I am very good in media, he said. Whatever I speak every day here and there, there are many devotees who convey it to faraway people. So people will take the lectures. The media has become a great asset now to reach out to my people. And then he made one very profound statement. He said, I agree with you that many of my disciples are doing wonderful things in India and abroad. He said, the intent of the master should drive the follower. He said, the intent of the master should drive the follower to have bustling with activities. He said, the master should not even have to speak out from his mouth. The master should not be expected to take a stick and chase after the follower. And the master should not have to punish the disciple, will you do or not. These are all further steps. What is the step? What is the subtlest thing? He said, the intent of the master should drive the disciple to action. He said, that was a very thrilling point when I met him personally. Actually, like this, he made many, many statements when we met personally. Very inspiring it was. Inspiring meeting. So, in this way, Pushkaranabha Samatav means what? Pushkaranabha is Lord Vishnu. Samatav means those servants who are completely aligned with His will. So much so that with one ingit, Lord Vishnu twinkles His eye, they will immediately know what He wants. Without even Vishnu speaking out. That kind of servants. That's the meaning. And then Prabhupada writes, see the fourth line, read it. A materialistic way of life.
The materialistic way of life differs from the spiritual way of life in that one is disobedience and the other is obedience to the will of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
All living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and they are supposed to be always agreeable to the order of the Supreme Person. That is perfect oneness.
And then he's saying in Vaikuntha Loka, nobody defies the order of the Lord. Everybody is Sammata. Agrees with the order. And the human life is a chance to come to the platform of Samatha and all that he says. So, 5-6 lines from bottom, simply by becoming? 6 lines from bottom of the purport.
Simply by becoming agreeable to the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by developing love of Godhead, Dhruva got the chance to personally meet the confidential servants of Lord Vishnu face to face. What was possible for Dhruva Maharaj is possible for everyone. Anyone who very seriously engages in devotional service can obtain, in due course of time, the same perfection of the human form of life.
Yeah. So, this is actually the bottom line. We have to, in our life, become obedient to the will of the Supreme, which is coming through the Guru Parampara. If we are willing to be flexible, bendable, like this. This layer what is bendable, right? No? If you put out, nothing will happen on the ground, correct? On the other hand, you see a brittle bottle. You put it down, what happens? Clang, finished. Correct, no? So, we should be like a brittle bottle or a Bisleri bottle. Yeah? Bisleri bottle, correct, no? So, the disciple should be moldable by the Guru. Yeah? Then, he has a good chance to go back to Godhead. And also, one should understand the will of the superiors and be bendable. If the goal is to go back to Godhead, if that is what is your ultimate goal, then bend yourself for anything and everything what the Guru Parampara may expect from us. But if our desire is to prove my will is right, my understanding is the best understanding, then we remain stuck in this world. Until we are kicked several lifetimes, then we will bend. Instead of bending at that time, why not bend now only? That is intelligence, correct? No? So that is the Pushkaranabha Sammatav, that's the word. Obedience to the will of the Supreme. And another sentence which Prabhupada said here, what was possible for Dhruva is possible for everyone. Prabhupada repeats it in next purport. We see in the 23rd one. Read the translation 23rd. Because they both are speaking now. Sunandananda uchutuhu.
Sunandananda
uchatuhu.
Sunandananda
uchatuhu. Bhobharajan
subhadramte.
Vacham no vahita shrunu.
Yapanchavarshastapasa
Bhavan Devam Atitripat.
But Nanda and Sudanda, the two confidential associates of the Lord Vishnu, said, "Dear King, let there be all good fortune unto you. Please attentively hear what we shall say. When you were only 5 years old, you underwent severe austerities and you thereby greatly satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead."
Purport.
What was possible for Dhruva Maharaj is possible for everyone. Any five-year-old...
This is a repetition, this statement. From the previous purport, Prabhupada is still thinking about it. So he has brought it again now. Second time he is writing, yes. So what is our theme?
The theme is, what is possible for Dhruva is possible for everyone.
Yeah, same point only I put. Yes.
Any five-year-old child can be trained and within a very short time his life will become successful by realization of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, this training is lacking all over the world. It is necessary for the leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement to start educational institutions in different parts of the world to train children, starting at the age of 5 years. Thus, such children will not become hippies or spoiled children of the society. Rather, they can all become devotees of the Lord. The face of the world will then change automatically.
Yeah. So, Prabhupada is very confident that we can begin training from what age? See, one of the devotees sitting here is close to 5 years. Who is that? Damodar. Damodar, how old are you? Huh? He is 6, yeah. Can you imagine a child of 6 years sitting through this lecture? Bhagavatam. So once His Grace Krishna Smaran Prabhu was telling that children who have devotional inclination, they can sit through His lecture for 6-8 hours a day. When the devotional inclination is very strong, it comes from the sanskaras of previous lifetimes. And it is not that the children don't understand anything. They make their own notes also. They also understand. They capture something also. But imperceptibly they are absorbing Bhagavatam vibrations. A lot. Therefore Prabhupada is very confident that we can start Gurukula at the age of 5. So, recently when His Grace Kaunteya Prabhu came to Pune, he was telling that unfortunately in all over ISKCON, Prabhupada's two very vital instructions are forgotten. It is not yet given shape, he was telling. I asked him which one. He said, Gurukul, starting Gurukulas, just because some of the Gurukulas had child abuse and problem and all, that doesn't mean Gurukula will always fail. Just because some doctors are quacks, doesn't mean all doctors are bad. Isn't it? So, he said, one is Gurukul, another one is Vanaprastha Ashram. He said, these two are, you know, extinct in ISKCON. We don't have, he said, we have to bring them back. So he has a lot of collected materials regarding that. Balagunpa was going through that. So Prabhupada's dream may come true sometime and we can try to become instrument in that also. And Pune has so many nice congregation devotees and brahmacharis. You know, this kind of ashramas could be given emphasis. One advantage is Damodar has over all of us is, you know, many of us came after 20-25 to Krishna consciousness. After, you know, collecting sufficient dust in our heads, you know, from various places, in our mind. And our mind, now we are trying to purify it, it is so difficult. But the people like Damodar are very fortunate souls. Right from 5 or 6 years, they are chanting and dancing with devotees. And they are collecting a lot of, you know, spiritual vibration. And they know all the etiquettes. In America, Prabhupada, in San Francisco, New Jagannath Puri, you know, Prabhupada took the Arati lamp and he worshipped. And he told the different hippies also, come here. One by one you take it and rotate it 3 times and give it to others. So Prabhupada gave chance to hippies to do arati, to Jagannath. And they also did. After everyone has finished, Prabhupada called for it back and he took it, touched. And then Prabhupada told, give it to all of them, let them take it. When the lamp was shown in front of them, they didn't know what to do with it. They said, why are you showing fire to my face? They were not knowing. And then Prabhupada told them, you have to touch it. And touch your eyes and touch your head. And Prabhupada explained how this is very auspicious. You know, the 5 weeks represent our Shabda Sparsha Rasarupa Gandha tendency. Those 5. And then when you mix with ghee, that is false ego. When you burn it, the false ego is purified. So when ahankara is purified, then all the weeks which burn, actually when the pujari is doing arati for the Lord, all our 5 senses are completely engaged in Lord's service. On our behalf only is offering. Correct, no? And Prabhupada explained, and then he said, if you touch it to your eyes, you will get, you know, Divya Chakshu. And if you touch it to your head, your whole existence will become blessed. Like the Prabhupada said. Then the hippies became very happy. Then they knew with meaning, they understood and they did it. But in India, you will find small children, right from young age, they take the Arati lamp. Correct, no? In fact, they go and give Arati lamp also to people. Every day giving, you know, this thing to the devotee, you know. Yeah, very. So in this way, Prabhupada is fully confident when he says, what is possible for Dhruva is possible for everyone. So it's very hope-giving. And also Prabhupada said, better late than never, he said, which means, okay, somebody says, I am already 70, what to do? Okay, start now immediately. Don't waste any more time. Join our Vanaprastha Ashram. If you are 70. Like one gentleman, this time I went to give Bhagavatams, last visit. Many Bhagavatams were distributed. So one gentleman, he is now 79 now. So he said his wife was 76. And she just died two, three weeks ago only. She passed before he took Bhagavatam. And this personality told me, Prabhuji, my wife was a big support to me in my life, All my life, she was my partner and we lived very peacefully. I found a lot of security in the family. But now 3 weeks ago, she passed away. Now I am sitting at home. The whole world appears like Shunya, Shunya aitam jagat sarvam, Mahaprabhu says without Krishna. But this personality was feeling Shunya without his wife. So he was saying, now I am feeling very vulnerable and insecure. My body is trembling. So he said, somebody told me, you are too much worrying because you are very attached to wife, therefore. So now he said, Prabhu, now some devotee suggested me that if I take Bhagavatam and read, I can dovetail my attachment to wife to Krishna. I can elevate it, uplift myself. Therefore, I am taking Bhagavatam from you. He said, I said, you did the right thing, best thing you did. And he also said, Prabhuji, please connect me to some devotees and arrange some services so that I can take my mind away from my worries, he said. So many of us who are brahmacharis, we cannot understand why these kind of things because we never got married in life. Correct, no? We are so fortunate and that we are given all our time, our whole existence to give for Krishna service. Correct, no? So in one sense, therefore Prabhupada says, better late than? Okay, now that fellow is 79, still not bad. At least right now he can begin. And he is reading Bhagavatam. With Bhagavatam impressions, if he leaves a body, then subtle body impressions will be first class. Correct, no? He's likely to get life in next birth, maybe like Damodar birth. Correct, no? Like Damodar type of wonderful child he'll become. Because he is reading Bhagavatam at the time of leaving the body. Then remembering Bhagavatam, now you'll want to go to temple, you will want to serve. Correct, no? So, in our community, there are many, many children like this. Plenty of children. There is another child who sings very beautifully, you must have seen. Any of you attended BMS anniversary? You attended? In anniversary, you can see such beautiful songs they sing. So they performed this skit of Pundarika Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar, talking about this Pandas decorating Lord Jagannath with a starched dress. That drama was done with such a class performance. With children remembered all the dialogues and everything. So, there is a Prabhupada says that once you start at 5, if you cannot, no problem, better late than never. Whatever age you be, start from that age. Purification can be started at any age. But one should start early, that is the point. So, and it is possible for everyone, he is saying. Now it is time now. Shall Prabhupada ki?